Well, we're all used to hearing big claims. Advertisers are very good at it, very good at making big claims. So you'll hear things like 8 out of 10 cats prefer Whiskas, apparently. Or, now some of you are too old to remember this, but I can remember it. Beg your pardon, some of you are too young to remember it. Some of you will remember that a Mars a day is supposed to help you work, rest and play. And of course, Red Bull gives you wings. We hear all sorts of claims about the best broadband speed if you use certain company, the holiday of a lifetime, some beauty product that if you rub on your skin once a week, you'll never develop a wrinkle, all of these things. And we're sceptical and we're cynical. And we hear these claims and we think, yeah, that's easy to say, but will it really work? Well, Jesus made some claims which seemed outrageous at the time. People said things to the people and they just thought, the way we think of some of those advertisements, they thought, really? Who does this man think he is? This carpenter from Nazareth. Well, what we're going to do over the summer is look at some of the claims of Jesus. We're going to look at a different one each week. Because it's hard to follow a full series over the summer because people come and go on holidays, we thought we'd look at these, the sayings of Jesus where he says, I am. The sayings, you're familiar with them. And we're going to look at them over the summer weeks and see what we can learn together. Well, today we're going to pick up John's account of Jesus' life just after he's fed 5,000 people, more than 5,000, 5,000 men and women and children as well. And he crossed the sea, he fed these people, he'd been teaching them all day, crossed the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, probably to get a bit of space, a bit of quietness with them. And the people came looking for him. They walked around the lake. They came looking for him. We pick up the story, if you have your Bibles there, in John chapter 6. And we're going to read from verse 25. So this is the people who have just found Jesus round on the other side of Lake Galilee after he had fed them. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they asked him, What miraculous sign then will you give us that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. We finish there at verse 40. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we look at this incident in the life of your Son, that you will speak to us by your Holy Spirit and encourage us, challenge us, tell us what we need to hear, and help us not just to be hearers, but to obey your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus made this great claim here. We read in verse 35 there. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Well, the people were amazed. They were amazed by this claim. And this is because they were thinking of physical food. Jesus said, we looked at verse 26, you're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. The people saw in Jesus one who could amazingly provide food for them, and they were interested in following him. But of course, Jesus was speaking of spiritual food, not just physical food. And he said, I am the bread of life. He didn't mean food that we could eat literally. Physical food we know, we all know we need. Everyone knows they need physical food. We know what it's like to feel hungry. None of us has ever experienced real hunger like people in some parts of the world, but we know what it's like to feel hunger. I remember teaching in school, always the class right before lunch, especially if I was demonstrating some experiment at the front, trying to pour something, your hands get to shake, you just begin to feel hungry. Or if you're in a quiet meeting, whether it's a prayer meeting or a business meeting, and your tummy starts to rumble, and you're sure that everyone else in the whole room can hear it, and you begin to feel you're hungry. Maybe you begin to feel a bit hungry now, and you think, well, I hope he doesn't go on too long up there, because it's getting near lunchtime. Advertisers certainly know how to make us feel hungry. Billboards, magazines, they show us very quickly something that just makes us think, yes, I'm going to go and buy myself one of those. They're very good at that. And unfortunately, many people in the world are very short of food, and we in this part of the world have too much. We actually eat too much. Obesity is on the increase, and they say that Britain has the highest obesity level in Europe, and I don't think Brexit is going to solve that particular issue. But there are many people who don't have enough food. But we might even take it more generally and say, in this part of the world, not only food was so important to people in Jesus' day. Of course, they that's what they relied on. They relied on their food being provided. But we might just look at possessions in general and say, in this part of the world, our society is very materialistic. Our possessions really possess us. We have all that we need, and yet there's that constant desire for more. But everyone knows that they need physical food. We need food. And everyone knows that we need possessions. We do need things. We need somewhere to live, and we need clothes to wear. But these things only meet our needs for a time. We know that no matter how much we eat or how healthily we eat, we'll eventually die. We know that. No superfood, no matter what the celebrities can tell us, no superfood. You can eat kale every day for breakfast, lunch and tea, but it will not put off that aging process. And the people remembered, in verse 31 that we read, the people remembered the food that they'd been given in the desert. They said to Jesus, our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it's written, God gave them bread from heaven to eat. And they said, we remember God giving us food from heaven. At least our ancestors have told us, and that's been passed down through the generations. And God did provide them with wonderful food, sort of caramel wafers, the sort of thing you might get in the coffee shop to set on top of your coffee. And it was bread from heaven. But look what verse 49 says. Jesus replied, your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. Now, this food wasn't food, the sort of food Jesus was talking about. This was food to sustain them for those days while they were in the wilderness. And the people were eager to see Jesus. He said that to them, you were looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. They were eager to see Jesus. They'd come right because they'd seen this miracle. They'd seen food provided. They thought, this man could be the answer to our needs. If he can provide food like that, where we're labouring and toiling to get food and relying on harvests, this man can produce food for thousands of people from a small boy's lunch. Maybe this is the man we need to follow. But Jesus knew that there was a deeper need. He did meet their physical need. Of course he did. He saw them hungry and he had pity on them. But he knew that there was a deeper need, a spiritual need. And you know, there are many organisations in the world who try to alleviate hunger, and absolutely rightly so. And Christians should actually be leading the way in that. And so there are organisations like Tear Fund who seek to help people with harvests and to help people get food. And that's absolutely right. But there is a deeper need, which many people neglect. In fact, we probably say, looking around us, it's true here, it's true in Paris, it's true in so many parts of the world, that people neglect that deeper need. They see the physical need, and they know they need food, and they know they need possessions and clothes and so on, but most people don't see the need for spiritual food at all. It's quite possible to be well-fed, to have all you need, but to be spiritually completely malnourished. And many people we know are like this. They're materially well off. We all know people who are well off. Most of the folk we know, in fact, they spend a lot of time and money looking after themselves physically and providing for themselves and their families. There's nothing wrong with that. But they completely ignore their spiritual needs. And there's nothing wrong with eating healthily, of course. We know that if we don't eat a good, healthy diet, there are consequences. Our health can suffer. And we see those heartbreaking pictures of malnourished children from countries where there's been a famine or war or whatever. Physical nourishment is very important. But we know the consequences of not getting it. We don't know very well in this country, but we do know that there are consequences if you don't get physical food. But we can also see the consequences of not getting spiritual food. We can see it in our society, we can see it in our world. Many look at the problems in our society, whether it's locally or globally, and they try to find solutions. They try to find solutions to problems, whether it's new policies or governments or whatever. But most reject the solution that God offers. Most are so busy looking for physical means and practical means that they miss the solution that God offers to the world, because they're looking for physical things, for physical food, rather than spiritual food. Lots of people in our society are well fed in every way, but spiritually absolutely famished. People face pressure from work, from family, from demands. Again, Susan was telling us about getting that balance right. So many people in our modern society, with all our computers and all the things that are meant to help us with our work, people find themselves burnt out by their work and under pressure from family and commitments and work and so on. I read someone recently saying that they felt like a rechargeable battery that had been recharged too many times. No matter how much they recharged, they just couldn't seem to get back to 100%. You know why that happens in your phone battery or whatever. Many people feel like that. They have all that they need, and yet there's still something just lacking in their lives. You see, physical food meets our needs for a time, and our possessions and all that we have can help us in our lives, but they don't help us eternally. Ultimately, that food will fail us. Verse 27, we just read there, Jesus said, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Ultimately, that food will spoil. Ultimately, all that we have will fail. Ultimately, our lives will end. No matter what possessions we have, no matter how well we eat, no matter what we have in this world, food can never satisfy a spiritual need. Physical food can never satisfy it. It's the wrong sort of fuel. Physical food can satisfy our daily needs, but it doesn't satisfy our deepest needs. It's like putting diesel in a petrol car. It's the wrong sort of fuel. Up in school, I taught there, we had always two minibuses. There used to be two petrol minibuses, now they're two diesel minibuses. But for a while, there was a petrol minibus and a diesel minibus. And a teacher called Bob, wasn't me, took the petrol minibus in next door to the garage here, filled it up with diesel, and got as far as the roundabout up at Campbell College, and it conked out and... bus full of children and a lot of money's worth of diesel. He was called Diesel Bob from that day on. Apparently, you maybe have done it. Apparently, it's the second commonest AA call out after a flat battery. That's people putting the wrong fuel in a car. You see, Jesus did meet the people's physical needs. He gave them food. They were hungry. They'd been listening to him all day. He did see the need and he met it. It wasn't that Jesus ignored their physical needs. And we know that he spent a lot of time healing people and bringing people help, physical, practical help. But he knew that they had a deeper spiritual need, just as we have. In Mark's account of the same incident, we read this. Let me just read from Mark chapter 6, verse 34. When Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. That's at the start of the day, before the people even became hungry. Jesus saw the people and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't have anyone to lead them. And he had compassion on them. And right at the start of Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 1, we read Jesus' mission statement. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. And that's what Jesus' mission was. He did heal people. He did give people food. He did help the blind to see. He did cast out demons. He met people's physical needs. But his underlying message was this: repent and believe the good news of the gospel. Early in Jesus' ministry, he'd cast out an evil spirit from a man. And we read what happens after this. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone's looking for you." They'd seen the demon cast out of this man. The people were looking for Jesus. They wanted to see him. And Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Now, Jesus met the ordinary, everyday needs of people, but that wasn't why he came. That wasn't the reason he came. He came to meet people's spiritual needs. The manna which came down from heaven was only a picture of what Jesus would bring, of what was to come. So we read a minute ago, verses 50 and 51. Here's the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. You see, Jesus was the bread from heaven who could meet our physical need. The manna which landed on the ground in the wilderness, in the desert, while the people of Israel were wandering through the desert, met their daily needs. But Jesus has now come as the true bread from heaven to meet our deepest spiritual need. And our deepest need is forgiveness. Our deepest need is forgiveness from that sin that separates us from God, that rebellion against God, that separates all of us from him. And his forgiveness means that we will no longer be separated from God and therefore can look forward to going to heaven to be with him. We can't go to heaven while we still are in our sin, because God is holy and sinless. And we need that forgiveness that only Jesus can offer. Ultimately, physical food will no longer sustain us. We'll all die, just like the Israelites. We didn't read down as far as verse 58. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Jesus said, your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. So Jesus said, you're following me because you saw that I gave you bread. And of course, I knew you were hungry and I gave you bread. But that's not why I came. I didn't come to give you just physical bread. I came to offer you bread which is eternal, the bread of life, forgiveness. And those who accept the forgiveness which Jesus offers know peace in this life and the assurance of eternal life as well. Again, look at verse 40. Jesus said, my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. What does it mean to look to Jesus? Well, it means to look to the cross. We've just been singing that, haven't we? Help us to fix our eyes on the cross. To see Jesus who died for us, who died not to bring us physical well-being, but died that we might be forgiven, died to take us to his Father. See, Jesus did meet people's practical needs. And it's right that as churches we meet people's practical needs. It's right that we help with people's food on a Saturday afternoon. It's right that we give to charities that help alleviate poverty. Absolutely right, we should be doing that. But we have a message which goes much deeper than that. We have a message which lots of those charities can't bring. The message that although we may help you in this lifetime, there is a deeper need which only Jesus can meet. Lots and lots of advertisements and articles about healthy living and healthy eating and lifestyle. The newspapers and the weekend magazines are absolutely full of them, what you must do to live healthily and all the rest of it. There's very little about spiritual nourishment. Very rarely see an advertisement in your Saturday paper about how to get right with God, about how to meet your spiritual needs. It's all about things that will one day come to an end. And that's our task as Christians. Our task as Christians is to say to people, yes, we know you have physical needs, and if we can help you with those, we will. But there's a deeper spiritual need. Jesus saw the people before they were ever hungry. He saw them like sheep without a shepherd, and his heart went out to them. I wonder, do we have Jesus' compassion, not just to people when we see children caught up in some of the terrible conflict situations in our world? Of course our heart goes out to them. There'd be something wrong if it didn't. But do we see the people we rub shoulders with day by day in Hollywood or in our work in Belfast or wherever it is that God has placed us? Do we see them? Does our heart go out to them the way Jesus' heart did? Charities won't bring them the answers that they need. Charities may bring help for this life, but we have the words of eternal life. You've probably heard the description of a Christian as one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. But not just physical bread, but spiritual bread. In the Anglican Communion service, the minister will often say these words as people come to take the bread and the wine. Come and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. It's a faith feeding. It's not feeding our bodies, it's feeding our hearts. Maybe that's what you need to do today. Maybe you need to come and feed on the Lord Jesus in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. We're all here well nourished. We all have all that we need to eat. We have in this part of the world more than we need. But I wonder, are you spiritually malnourished? spiritually famished. Either because you've never come to Jesus, you've never come to accept that love which he offers, or because you've allowed that to grow cold, you've neglected your spiritual life. You've been busy with your career and your family and all of those things, looking after yourself physically, but maybe neglecting that spiritual side of your life. You know, you can put all your effort into looking after yourself for this life, and at the end of the life, life ends, and there's an eternity to face without God. Or we can ask God to give us that spiritual food that will feed us not only for this life, but eternally, and will allow us to go to be with God. At the end of our service, as always, there's prayer in the prayer room. If you'd like someone to pray with you about anything at all, just go in, please, and let someone be happy to share with you and to pray with you. But here's the great claim of Jesus, the first claim that we look at today. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." And that's a promise for all who turn to Jesus today. We're going to sing our closing song now, and it's "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want." It's a version of the 23rd Psalm, where we simply sing, whatever else we may or may not have, when we follow Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and all of the claims that he makes that we'll see later in the summer, we will not want for anything in this world or in the world to come. So the musicians will come and lead us as we sing our final song.